Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, Eddie?
No rooster.
What no happened? Rooster. I'm trying something new, but it's not working, so it's not gonna. It's
no cock.
No cock today. Mm. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. What is that? Sure. What are you playing?
See, I'm trying to get in the zone. New soundboard.
Yeah, but can't we're not allowed to play like actual real music?
Oh, well then I'll just turn that off.
Can't we get like copyright laws and stuff?
Hey.
I'm just saying.
We'll just keep
it. Unless we actually had... Who's saying it? Survivor?
Yeah.
Unless we actually had
no,
Survivor.
No, actually, that's not Survivor. Who's that's like the composer.
Who did Eye of the Tiger? Was that the Rocky
Survivor
theme?
Did Eye of the Tiger, that's but not, that's yeah, the Rocky theme.
That's the Rocky theme.
Yeah, it's a whole different bag all together. How you been? How was your week?
That's all right.
Just okay?
Bobby the Brain Heenan died yesterday.
I know. So. I was like thinking about you. I was like, man, was Eddie must be really torn
that was
up.
A bummer.
Wasn't he pretty corrupt, though, in the Wrestling Federation?
Not that I know of.
Really? Because he was like an evil villain.
Yeah, but that was the character he played. I mean, he was...
Well, that's what I mean. Like, he was corrupt in the
Yeah,
wrestling.
But that's what made him great.
All right. So what did he do?
Bobby the Brain Heenan?
Who else did he manage? He managed, like, the... I want to say the Hart Brothers? Or who did he... Who did he manage in...
Andre the Giant.
Oh, that's right.
Dino Bravo. Yeah. I mean, pretty much everybody at one point or another. Honky Tonk Man. No, there's Jimmy Hart.
Now, was he there like the whole time or did he retire?
No, he... Well, he went to WCW in the like the late 90s.
Your eyes are pricking up right now talking about wrestling.
Because it's interesting. It's interesting.
So he went to WCW in the 90s.
Yeah, he did that for a while. He kind of stayed there for that whole like... Nitro run during the whole Monday Night Wars or whatever, and then he got throat cancer or something like that. And
oh wow!
Took him off TV for, you know, and then he just got old
and just faded into the, just, yeah. into the sunset.
As all wrestlers don't get to do.
Yeah, Bobby the Brain Heenan, but Bobby he was an iconic character.
R.I.P. Buddy.
Yeah.
Right. What are you doing?
Do you get a little sad when a wrestler dies?
Well, like, at this point, it's like we're getting to the point now where like. All the people we watched growing up as a kid are now old or dying or dead.
It's kind of sad.
So it's you're just kind of at that point in your life now where it's like it doesn't surprise you when these people die anymore.
Did you watch the Emmys?
No.
You don't care about the Emmys?
Not at all.
You know, I care the least about the Emmys. I hate to say that. I shouldn't say
there
that.
There is not an award show I care about.
Yeah. You know, the Oscars I like. I like the Grammys. Mm. I like the Oscars. Those are the two. But everything else is like way below the bar. But I'll tell you why I watch the Emmys. Because it turns me on to new shows that I think I should be watching. Ooh. You know, like Handmaid's Tale. I've never even heard of that show.
You never heard of that?
No. And it cleaned house.
Yeah, but...
It was just awesome.
That was all over the place.
Yeah, but...
I don't even watch TV, and I knew about that.
Nah, but I you know what, man? I'm always thinking about instruments. I'm rarely thinking about a
TV. Yeah, but you watch
show.
More TV than I do.
No, I watch movies. I watch movies. I watch...
You watch Game of Thrones and stuff.
Oh, I love Game of Thrones.
See, I don't watch anything.
You don't watch anything?
No.
What do you do with your time?
I don't have any time.
You're just... Because of parenting?
Parenting and... I can't sit and watch TV.
Why, you get bored, antsy? It
makes me feel like I should be doing something else.
You don't feel inspired, but you want to be an actor. That's so weird.
So?
You want to be on TV, but you won't watch TV.
TV doesn't interest me at all.
But acting does.
Yeah. But performing's fun.
Like
watching's not fun. Performing's fun.
Well, yeah, but don't you feel like you learn when you watch?
No.
Never?
No.
Never.
Mm-mm.
You're watching Robert De Niro on TV doing the performance of his
Unless
life.
I want to learn how to do a Robert De Niro impression, there's no reason to watch Robert De Niro.
Yeah, but don't you think they have different approaches?
Yeah, but it's his approach. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't find it. So I watch like, a movie. I'll sit in a theater and watch movies.
I like all
But
movies.
Like watching TV, I just don't.
I mean, I won't just like watch meandering television, but I'll tell you what I do love. I love documentary style news like Vice, and I like what's his name? The guy who won John Oliver.
John Oliver. I'll watch Last Week Tonight.
Last Week Tonight's great. That's
half hour a week.
And he's so funny, and I like that they do their research. And I also love shows. I just started Westworld. I think it's one of the most creative shows I've seen in a long time. I love Game of Thrones. I love series that actually have, you know, kind of, they take some time for set designs and story writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I think is awesome. But a lot of shows don't do that now. You know, like I don't get Atlanta. Have you seen this show?
Uh-uh.
So the kid that won, he's like cleaning house at like
Grammys. Yeah, he's going to be the young Lando Calrissian in the Han Solo movie.
Yeah. Now, I think he's good at acting. I do think he's good, but I don't get that show. It doesn't resonate with me for some reason.
Never seen it.
It's very dry humor, but it just doesn't, you know. Now, Silicon Valley, I love. I think that show is brilliant.
I watched a couple shows, but I watched a couple episodes of that.
Silicon Valley? Did you like it?
I was okay, but like I just sort of like, I don't know, lost interest in it. I don't know. I don't know. I just, nothing really keeps my interest on TV.
But like movies.
Some movies.
You go to a lot of movies, so that's where you make it
up.
Not
that much anymore. It's too expensive.
I know. It is. I saw It. Have you seen It?
I haven't seen It.
I loved it. No, it was fun. It was.
I heard it was more Goonies than horror film.
Yeah, it's definitely more Goonies than horror film, but they had some crazy aspects, and it was intense. It was great. Yeah. I thought it was really well done. And they say that they're going to release us. They're going to do chapters, and the second one's going to be like the kids grown up.
Oh yeah, of course.
And like looking back,
they have to keep making money off of it because it.
Right, but I mean, it was well done. It was well done.
Made like $120 million opening weekend.
And I saw Eric Clapton last night.
Where?
That was bitching. At the Forum. He actually rescheduled this show. It was supposed to be in March. So I saw Gary Clark Jr. opening up for Eric Clapton. We missed Jimmy Vaughn, but I've seen Jimmy Vaughn a couple times. And then all three of them sat in together on a tune that I recorded on one of my records, a Bo Diddley track, and it was bitching. I mean, Clapton's 72 years old and still... like,
he's that old now?
But he's still killing it. It's like... You know, people like Eric Clapton and B.B. King, they're probably the most inspiring artists to me because they are so old and, well, B.B. King's gone.
But, yeah.
I mean, they're still doing it. And then when they're doing it in their 70s, even Paul McCartney, they're still slaying it. It's like I can't even
fathom. Well, you wouldn't have that longevity unless you slayed it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but there are a lot of artists. Like I saw The Who. The Who was like...
Well, The Who's just sort of like just doing... It's like rounds. Motley Crue and Poison.
But Motley
like,
Crue was good.
When?
I saw Motley Crue
last year. 2011, and they were horrible.
You know they were terrible?
The band was good. Vince Neil was
terrible. Oh, Vince Neil. Well, yeah, but I expect that. You know who I saw last week that was pretty interesting? I saw Tears for Fears.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, I saw Tears for Fears and Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates were good.
Yeah.
Tears for Fears, they were. I had heard they were amazing, so I came in with very high expectations.
Yeah.
But they definitely ended their set with those, like, it met the high expectations towards the end of their set.
Well, yeah, when they play their greatest hits.
Yeah, but they opened with one of their biggest hits. So, but it's just like one of the guys is still amazing, and the other guy is like okay. So that's hard when the duo is the band. You know what I mean? But like I've seen like some of the '80s bands like U2 and Duran Duran, and they still slay. They're still great. So,
well, U2's remained relevant their entire. It's like you know, like Tears of Fears was relevant in the '80s, and then they just keep like they stay there, and you go and watch them as sort of like a.
They're
feel
like
good about
act,
yeah, it's
almost.
Like a tribute. They're almost a tribute to the band of themselves. Whereas like U2 is constantly evolving for the last 35 years.
Well, Hall & Oates, what's really funny is, you know, they have a ton of hits. And when I was working at Guitar Center, they did, you know, the rock walk where they put the, you know, hand in the cement. And I had a friend that was working with me, a guy named Oliver Gold, really funny cat. And he had like a little fro like John Oates. So he grew out his fro and grew out a mustache. And had a members-only jacket on the day of the Hall & Oates rock walk. And
people like, get pictures with him?
So he walks up to Daryl Hall and John Oates, and he's like, Daryl Hall's like, John, this is your stand-in. And John just like looks at him, and you could just tell they're both the same height too. So John's just like, like, that's funny, but it's kind of not, you know. And then like he walks up to Daryl Hall and he's like, hey man, can I get a picture? And Daryl Hall's like, yeah. And John Oates comes in and he goes, not you. So he took a picture with Daryl Hall, and he was like 80s John Oates. It was one of the coolest and funniest things I've ever seen. So, but they were both good sports. But the amazing thing is they have like a hit in almost every decade, and that's a really hard thing to do. And they're still touring.
What hit did they have this decade?
No, I mean in the 90s, like up till, I mean, not the 2000s, let's be honest.
What hit did they have in the 90s?
I want to say, well, actually, maybe just the 70s and 80s.
Okay, like, what are you
just
talking
20
about?
Years, 20 years, 20 years. So like, 2 decades.
So like all the other bands we were talking about, Motley Crue and Tears for Fears.
Well, Motley Crue was it?
Crue had some hits in the early 90s.
Really?
Dr. Strange?
That was 90. That was really technically 89. Because that was the year I sang at the Grammys and I met Motley Crue then. So it was 89. But I remember that because it was 90 was the year that
that was 91, 92.
No. Sure? 89, for sure. But anyways, let's welcome our special guest, Rachel Otto. How about some applause from our studio audience, Eddie? You got
the
button,
you're the
man.
Applause person.
I don't have it tonight.
Oh, my God. Here.
Hold on. Rachel Otto. Rachel, we go way back.
Yeah, we do.
You are our engineer extraordinaire.
Yeah, before I was a guest, I was making sure people heard you guys.
That's right.
We used to do 4.5 hour shows.
Yeah,
you know what? Like you always dialed in the sound.
6 hours.
Yeah. You know what?
Rachel would look miserable, and I would look miserable, and Nikki was just jamming out.
That was
95 degrees and smell like ham.
I was gonna say that. It was the ham sandwich smell. Oh,
so the ham sandwich smell. You know what? You put up with us during some dark times in the early radio.
I put up with you guys, but you were the like easiest things to put up with. You were there like
you had to deal with some characters.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather not like dig too far into that.
Yeah,
everyone's cool. It's all great. Everyone's peachy. I'm glad you guys are happy in your space and have been doing well.
So how have you been? What have you been up to?
I have been figuring out this artist life of mine. I'm working on this grand tour.
Wow.
Goes out to Arkansas and goes to all the Japanese American internment camps.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I started, I did a first run, went up to Manzanar and Tule Lake, and then saw the eclipse up in Oregon. I was like, that's enough for now.
Did you see Totality?
We saw Totality.
How was it?
It was beautiful, and you can't. You really just can't explain it.
Okay, because I didn't see it in totality, so to me I was like, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah,
but people were like, oh my God, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It's,
okay.
It's unbelievable.
So I need to see it in totality.
You do. You have to go out to Texas in
24.
How many Japanese internment camps were there?
There were 10.
10?
That we talk about. Yeah. And then there's one that's like an internment camp, but was also like a prisoner of war camp.
Yeah.
So it kind of doesn't.
Did they actually bring Japanese soldiers here for the camps? Or was it just people they interned that were citizens?
They were citizens. They were American citizens, and they rounded them all up.
So crazy.
So, like, so dumb. Yeah, so crazy.
My grandparents were all sent through that system because I'm like full-blooded Japanese American. So that's kind of the impetus to go out and get all these stories before everyone passes away.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
How bad was it? Do you know?
Like the conditions in the camps? I mean, it wasn't nice.
Yeah. Well, nothing. You're held against your will. It's not nice, but like,
yeah,
I mean,
no
like,
one died.
It wasn't level. It wasn't like.
It wasn't like concentration.
It's not like Auschwitz level
of
concentration.
It's not,
just sort of, you were just sort of stripped of your rights and held against your will.
You were stripped of your rights and held against your will, and you were fed, you know, not fantastic food and living not great conditions.
And how long did they do that for?
Like 4 years.
God. 4 years? I thought it was like a year.
It was like it was like 41. Yeah, I think it was like
What war ended in 45? When did the war end? When did we drop
45? 41 to 45.
Yeah, so it was like, because my grandma switched camps once a year for like 3 years.
What,
3 years.
What was the criteria for being put into the internment camps? Was it all like, I don't know a lot about that.
Yeah, it was just,
was it all Japanese-Americans? Was it like first-generation Japanese-Americans? Was it
all anyone with Japanese-American ancestry, or Japanese ancestry. But it was only in this exclusion zone on the West Coast.
Why is that?
Because that's...
Well, that was the threat from Japan, was on the West. That's why we have, like, bunker, like, cannon embankments and military posts on the up and down the West Coast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because there were submarines right out there in the Pacific during World War II.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Stupid.
So we had blackouts. Dumb. We had, you know, the blackouts, and the Battle of L.A. was supposedly either a UFO or a Japanese attack.
The sad thing is, like, you know, a lot of them were U.S. citizens.
I thought you were going to say a lot of them were UFOs. I'm going,
they were UFOs.
I mean, yeah, that's what I've heard.
That's amazing that you're doing that.
Thanks, yeah. You know, I got some footage from Tule Lake and Manzanar, and then you put together a video and try to get grants and funding and all that
and
stuff.
And you're touring all of them? All the places?
That's the plan. So the plan is to go, there's two in California, the ones I went to, and then there's one in Idaho, and there's one in Wyoming, and one in...
What's the farthest east? Is it Idaho?
Arkansas.
Arkansas?
Yeah, and Rower and Jerome in Arkansas.
Are the structures still there?
Most of them aren't. A lot of the buildings were repurposed after the war.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they turned into school buildings and barns and, you know, people.
I remember in the 80s, the government issued, like, an apology, and it was very half-assed.
Yeah, I mean, there were reparations paid and stuff, but...
it's still 4 years of your life.
No, nothing that would make
up
for it.
Do you know how many people died in the camps?
Died in the camps? I would have to look it up, but there were about I think the figure I hear most is 110,000 people
were in the camps.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's nuts.
America.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Hopefully we learn from our mistakes.
We don't.
We don't.
We
but
do not.
We are slowly evolving. And
no.
Two steps forward.
We're devolving.
Five steps back.
We're devolving
right now. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Rachel, we're happy to have you back.
I'm super excited to be here.
And you brought a special guest.
Yes. So this is Polina.
Hi, I've been chuckling in the back.
And I actually met her around the time I was doing the Radio Titans thing, and then and she's fantastic, and I was like, I must be friends with her, and now here we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she actually invited me on that radio show, and it was like I had a toothache or something.
Oh, it's a different show, yeah.
And I was like all in medicine, and I forgot to go, and like called in, and was like, I think I'm supposed to be there.
Yeah, start of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah. And you're like, we need to be friends.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, what are you going to play for us first?
Yeah.
I like that. That was quite the intro.
Well, do your songs relate to the ones you're on the tour? Are you doing songs that sort of relate to?
Yeah, so the whole big plan.
Or inspired by?
Is to go to each of the camps and take time and write and do the whole like soul-searching thing at the camps. And then write material along the way and then come back and record an album, put together a documentary and all that good stuff. I can't say exactly.
You don't know yet.
I like that.
You'll
I like
have to
that.
Find out.
You're carving out a very specific niche. Like a lot of artists don't think that specifically, and I like that you're going for something very specific that has something to do with your heritage, has something to do with
some humongous injustice.
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of like. You know what? Your grandparents seeing you doing that, or even knowing that you're doing that, that's a pretty powerful message.
Oh yeah, and I sat down and got interviews with my surviving grandparents too.
So amazing.
It gets like really emotionally heavy.
Right.
How old were they when they were in there?
Really young.
Yeah.
My grandma was 12 and my grandpa was 15.
My goodness.
And the other, I guess my other two grandparents are probably around the same ages.
Yeah, you have to get those interviews in because that generation's almost gone.
Yeah, well, I've already missed half of my chances, so it's rough. And even just like looking up documents online and like there's all this documentation about, you know, what block they were in and
it's crazy
where they were. And it's like I feel like the government knows more about my family's past than I do.
Wow.
So it's music.
Let's play music. Happy song.
Yeah, I don't
don't What's the name of the song you're going to play?
I have no idea. Do you want like something old or something new?
Oh, I want something that you want to show us. You choose. Your choice. Artist choice.
You know what song I like.
I know what song you like. I think I played that song last time.
Oh. Do whatever you want.
Okay.
Whatever you'd like.
Okay.
You're fierce. You never every time that she plays, I'm always like, oh, it's Rachel. Oh, yeah. And then she plays.
You don't expect that voice to come out.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Yeah. It's got so much personality.
Thanks.
What do you think about before you start singing?
Oh, don't fuck up.
Because you get into a character. You really do. Like, I was like, oh, she's in that zone. Like, you got fierce.
Oh, thanks.
And now you're out of it, and you're like, hey, guys.
Yeah, well, you can't be fierce all the time. Then you wouldn't get invited onto podcasts.
That's true. Exhausting to be fierce all the time.
Well, you know, Eddie's pretty fierce. Smelling. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay, you can never tell.
So what was the inspiration behind the song?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm working on an EP right now with Andrew, actually, at the Letters Home on our label, Andromeden Recordings.
Yeah. We got to have them back. You remember them? Letters Home? The band of all engineers?
No.
I do. They're
it's like
good.
3 years of shows. I can't.
Well, you know what? You got to be just a sharp.
I can't. I mean, I can't. I can't.
Yeah, well, this song, it's a whole EP about, like, being a starving artist in L.A. and just struggling and all the different struggles and stages of struggle.
Yeah.
So that song,
it's pain in the ass, isn't
that,
it?
Yeah, that song in particular was about people making promises and breaking them. So, but
you know, it's really crazy. It's like I have so many students that are like, you know, starting out with music, and the first 5 years, it's like there's no way to tell a student. You can warn them. You can tell any new artist, the first 5 years are gonna suck. First 5 years, you're gonna hurt. It's gonna be a struggle, and then you know when they live it though, it's a whole different thing. So like, you're in this very alive presence and energy, but I'm telling you, it's something that creativity thrives in. It thrives in that energy.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I got a whole EP out of the past like year of just struggle, and It kind of sucks, but at the same time, it's like, these songs rock. Like, just got to play more shows.
And what's the instrumentation? Are you doing like an acoustic EP? Are you doing full band?
I always want to say it's going to be a certain way. Oh, you mean like live show or just for this
EP? Well, no, just for the EP.
Yeah, I always want to say it's going to be a certain way, and it's like never that way. Like my last EP, I had like a certain sound in my head, and it's like not quite what I was thinking it was going to be, but it's cool. And this one, it's like, I wish I could tell you and be like, this is what it's going to sound like.
You can never tell until it's done.
And it's like, you don't know.
Yeah. So. That's the kind of exploration about it.
Yeah. Especially, you know, first 5 years of being an artist in LA, so it's not like I have like a thing nailed down quite yet.
And you're from the Bay Area?
I am. I'm from Sunnyvale.
Sunnyvale. That's just south of San Francisco?
You're good. Yeah, it's 45 minutes south of San Francisco.
Are you near the... What's the Garlic City? You're near the Garlic City. Gilroy.
Gilroy
is
the Garlic City. You drive through it when you come down to L.A. from Sunnyvale off 134.
And get the whiffs of garlic.
That's where you see the big trucks hauling garlic up and down the 5.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Gilroy will smell like an Italian restaurant at the right season.
That's where it was for the last apocalypse. The 2012 one.
Oh, the one? That one? The Mayan apocalypse? Is that the one?
I think so, yeah.
What, did you think there were vampires coming?
I think one's coming next week, right? Don't we have an apocalypse coming next week?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the 23rd
or something. Something
like that? Really? I hadn't
heard about some that. Bible numerologist or something like
that. Really?
But there's one every like 8 months.
Oh, there's a huge earthquake today. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, well, and last night.
Yeah,
we had
one last night.
I was driving when it happened, so I was like, what an earthquake? Everybody's talking about this and that. But
it freaked me out, but it was really tiny, and then I was okay, and then until I heard about, you know, Mexico City.
Mexico City had like an 8.1 or something.
7.1.
7.1. Damn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's some crazy
shit. Super
sad.
Scary.
Well, anyways. So when's the EP going to be out?
I'm going to the studio this week, so I'm going to say beginning of next year.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting. This is your second record?
Second EP, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's second record.
Yeah, second. Yeah.
Are you more experimental or less experimental now that you're doing your second one? Because I feel like every record teaches me something about the creative process and recording, so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't know about I've gotten to the point of being more or less experimental. I've gotten to the point of being more confident.
Good.
And I've definitely honed my voice a lot from the last one. In my playing, reined everything back in, and then, I don't know, it's, you know, it's second day in studios, like, tomorrow, so I'll let you know.
Day two, I like it.
Day two.
It's a big day, Eddie. Well, you just get more and more comfortable with it, you know, it gets to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm always stressed when I make a record. Are you stressed, or are you like, man, this is great?
I mean, I'm just excited to be, like, putting things down at this point.
See, I have, like you know what's... It's so funny. It's, like, I have, like, crazy anxiety while I'm making a record, but I have convinced myself that I'm enjoying it. You know, it's like... I'm like, this is fun! But then when it's, like, just about to be finished, that's when it's, like, oh, my God, this is so beautiful. This is such an enjoyable experience. But, like, throughout the process... The neuroses of like making sure tape is available, or that, you know, the computers are working, or you got the right mics, or
you remembered the song.
Yes, yes.
You brought your guitar.
Yes.
That sounds like you're doing a lot more production and producing of your own stuff.
Oh, it doesn't. If it's solo acoustic or if it's a full band record, I go through the same anxiety every time.
Yeah. See, I go, hey, Andrew, I want to record something. And he goes, okay, what time do you want? And I go, oh, I'm free this day. He's like, great, come on in. And then I just sit down and play stuff. So I'm like very taken care of right now.
Well, and it's also your significant other too. That's kind of nice.
Well, maybe nice.
That's gotta no. That's gotta be a comforting because like making the record's an intimate thing. So it's like a comfort level.
I mean it's definitely comfort level. Sometimes like you have to be like right. I'm an artist right now.
Right.
This is not personal. I'm an artist. But you know.
Well, I always find that like whenever I work with engineers, like most of the time, sometimes I'll do sessions with complete strangers, and you're like trying to create this vibe or an intimate atmosphere to create with a person you've never even met before. It's kind of awkward sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that camaraderie and that history.
Yeah, knowing that you know your producer's looking out for you and you know has your best interests at heart is good, you know.
Crazy. Good comments.
I don't know.
What was the craziest thing that you experienced going to these camps?
So I went to Manzanar first, and Manzanar has like the most restoration going on. Like there's like a movement to preserve that history of Manzanar. But I didn't have any relatives in Manzanar that like are really closely related to me. So I had this weird experience where I was traveling with a drummer and a bassist. Shout out Alan and Ben. And we got there, and it's just gorgeous. It's gorgeous at Manzanar in August for whatever reason. And I just had this weird, like I couldn't align the history and the moment I was having at that moment, because it was like, it's just so beautiful.
Right.
And I don't have any personal attachment to any of the people that were in there. And like, I think it was affecting the guys I was traveling with way more than it was affecting me, because I was just like, yeah, okay, but this isn't where my family was. You know,
right.
This isn't, you know. But when we went to Tule Lake, it's like, I had relatives there. I had three of my grandparents were in Tule Lake, and I found their names in the registry. And
wow.
And it was like, and the buildings are all torn down. It's like a little town, you know, and, but that was what I was expecting.
When they got out of the camps, did a lot of people stay in that? Like, is there a high Japanese population in those areas now, or were they sort of just, they went back to where they were from?
I think a lot of people tried to go back to where they were from. Because a lot of people left having property, and so a lot of people went back to see what they could...
If their house was still there?
Yeah, if they still had a house, if they still had their farm, things like that. You know, there were... So, like, I had grandparents in Sacramento before the war, and then there's like, a Japanese-American population there already. So if you already have the population there, it's easier to have everyone come back, you know, and try to rebuild where they were. So that's family experience. That's kind of what it was.
Struck a chord.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still processing it,
I think. Yeah, that would take a lifetime to process, I would think.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk to your grandparents, and they're just like, yeah, it happened. And that's you know, it happened, and it was unfortunate, and we move on, and it's like, okay.
Well, I mean,
yes.
Go ahead. Eddie.
If you don't sort of compartmentalize it and move on, then it engulfs your life. Which I'm sure some people went through that. It did ruin the rest of their lives. I mean, your parents were fortunate enough where they could sort of like move past it.
Right. Well, and they were so young.
And they were young too, 12 and 15.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of like protect the kids and don't let them know exactly what's going on thing going on, so I feel like they were spared a lot of the pain, but yeah, it's a trip.
Wow. Well, you brought your guitar too. You gonna play us something as well? You gonna play something together?
Paulina absolutely has to play something.
What are you gonna play, Paulina?
I don't know. What should I play?
I like that. They're like, what should I play as yours?
Well, see, like, we're the funniest twins because, like, we both write songs and sing, and we both, like,
we're super crafty and do things.
Wire-wrapped metal things. I make jewelry, and she makes, like, these blooms. So, like, we're always, like, doing music because we've toured together and craft together.
That's awesome.
Things.
Do you craft while she plays, and you craft while she plays?
Yeah, we have a tight schedule. And
no, that would be so smart. Honestly, it would be so smart to do that. I always think of like merchandise, like.
We make our own merchandise.
That's
we
help awesome.
Yeah, like, merchandise.
Yeah, because I'll make stuff for her, and then she'll make stuff for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then we both make stuff for the Letters Home.
Yeah, for the Letters Home.
So they're the benefactors.
Yeah, hey, I've been making shirts. She's been making buttons. And we've been making, you know, all these other things.
That's amazing. All right, what are you going to play us?
Unlovable?
I mean, it's so loud, though. You think that's okay?
Do you want us to do a song while we sing together? Do Moon Dude?
Do I remember how to play this?
Okay, then do something else.
It is fun when we sing together, though. I just don't remember if I'll remember it. Alright, I'll try to sing this song. It's called Moon Dude. I got hired by this really eccentric hotel owner to write this song with his lyrics. And it was really, really difficult because I was like, how am I going to write the word dude in a song and make it sound cool? It sounds just awful. Anyway, I figured it out, and now people seem to like it, so I'm always like, yeah, getting people to sing along with me. Here we go.
He's tossing down darts, and he's touching lonely hearts, and he's mending the broken ones too. He knows just what to do, and that dude in the mood. Winter, spring, summer, and fall, and Juliet, and round and round heaven all night. Never quits, working the night shift, going sleepless for me and for you. The moon dude works for his soul. The moon dude works for his all. Shining down moonlight from New York to New Zealand and all lovers' lanes in between him. He knows just what to do, and that dude in the moon. Winter, spring, summer, and fall.
Romeo and Juliet thing.
Round and round heaven all night. He never quits working the night shift, going sleepless for me and for you. Moonlight works for his soul. The moonlight works for his all. Lovers all over the world when darkness descends. Moonlight covers them all like a warm glow. Precious moments of love to remember. Winter, spring, summer, and fall.
Romeo and Juliet thing.
Round and round heaven all night. He never quits working the night shift, going sleepless for me and for you. Boom, do works for his home. The moon do works for his own. The moon do works for us all.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Hey. Oh, our studio audience loves it. Duet action, Moon Dude.
Yeah, it's such a silly song.
No, but it's cool. Totally, you made it really catchy.
One of those starving artist moments. I was like, why am I going to pay the rent? And then they found some contest on Craigslist.
Anyway. He was like, I want somebody to write a song with Moon Dude. That's what he said?
No, he was doing this like ongoing contest where he was like getting people to submit he would post his poetry, and then you had to turn it into a song and arrange it and write the melodies and all that kind of stuff. It was very challenging and extremely frustrating, and I was like, I hate this. And then it turned out to be really funny.
And then you sang really those funny songs all through like our first tour together, and then they were stuck in my head for like the next 2 months.
Was singing, everybody like, was singing along. It was so funny.
You're like, man, I made so magic out of this.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so funny magic.
So are you guys doing the tour, the next tour together?
Oh, not the internment camp thing, but we're going to do, yeah, like, I mean, I'll support her. Wherever
I like it. It's like reverse racism. Awesome. You're like, you're the white girl. You're not invited.
Well, I mean,
you're like, this is all about me.
Well, see, if I had my way, I would just do that tour by myself because it's such like a personal thing. I'd want it to just be like I go to each of these places and just do it by myself. But I was told I need to have a videographer with me and I need to bring a drummer and like band and stuff. I'm like, no. Okay.
And it depends who you ask whether or not I'm white.
That's okay. People,
you and me both. So. I'm just kidding. That's awesome. And so you guys, do you guys ever collaborate creatively, like on records or anything? Have you done any records?
We haven't yet, but we're both recording right now. So it probably happen.
I'm sure. It'll probably happen.
But yeah, I mean, when we've toured together, we've sang together. And I've sung her stuff and she's singing on my stuff.
See, you know what? There's a magic with that.
I sell her merch. She sells my merch.
Yeah.
Fix each other's shoes. Yeah.
No, but those things, they go a long way. Eddie, do you ever, when you do comedy stuff, do you ever have somebody selling your merch?
No.
So do you slang your own merch?
Yeah. Well, usually I stand there next to it, and people, if they want to buy a CD, they also want a picture. You're to autograph it while you do it. You're not like a band where you got to break down. You're like all sweaty from singing for an hour and a half.
True.
You just like walk off stage and go stand by your merch table and just like, hey, and they want to meet you and take pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
It's way different.
I feel like there's some of that, but then there's a lot of like, you know, people talking to you after you're done playing versus the merch table. It gets to be two different things and you get busy talking to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're playing.
It's nice to have someone over there. They just want to get the album or whatever and go or whatever.
Or if you're playing a long set and people can't stay the whole time, then it's good to have someone at the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, Eddie? I always wish I had. I don't always have merch people, but it's nice when you have them. It's
comedy comedy shows are sort of like, if you're intimate. Doing a club, well, it's like, it's usually an hour and a half show, and people don't, like, music people like come for the open band like leave halfway through the second band. Like it's a longer ordeal and there's traffic and there's usually thousands of people and comedy club's like 150 people. That's an hour and a half. It's not really the same.
Okay. All right.
You just get off stage, you walk straight to the back of the room.
Like, because I savor having a merch person, and so it's great that
I'm sure if I was like Steve Martin level playing arenas, you'd have a merch person.
You probably have like five.
Yeah. But comedy clubs is like 150 people, and you walk to the back of the room, and people file out, and you wave and shake hands or whatever. It's not the same.
All right. All right. Well, let's have you guys play something else. What are you going to play us?
Oh,
Rachel.
It's your call. Song, then?
I can play something on here.
Unless
you
want
to play live, it's up to you.
I forgot we have a studio track. What are we playing?
I don't know.
You can play a studio track.
Let's play a studio track.
I don't care.
Let's play.
What would you want to do?
How long is a studio track?
I don't know, like 3 minutes.
That. And let's maybe do another. Can you do a short one after this?
Of course.
All right, let's do it.
Do what they know. Cornered in Lines.
Cornered in Lines. Here we go.
Feeling me. shadows that fall from my wheels. Oh. I hear it's wild, the wild is something to fear. Keep to the phone, baby, keep to the near. Stack with the others, so stackable, stackable. Get to your corners and manage your life. Comfy and cozy with nothing outside. And we're stackable, stackable, laughable, trackable. Stack with the others and go. Oh.
Nice, very nice. Yay. Love it. Oh. What are you playing?
Oh, it went on to the next one.
It was like Eddie. It wow, getting
you're
creative with those fades.
You're going to have to go to Bandcamp to get to that.
Bandcamp.
Yeah, I like it. Very nice. Dude, it's got totally like this bluesy feel. It's nice. I love it.
That's like the only track on there that has that feel, but yeah.
Oh,
that's
a cool. you should explore more of that. It's such a cool vibe.
Thanks.
I was like picturing this whole Tarantino scene. It was very weird. I was like, this is awesome. I was like totally in the cinematic kind of frame of mind.
Yeah,
I love
awesome.
When music does that. Like, that's my favorite way to listen to music is to listen to something and then it just takes you somewhere and like you create a whole scene around it. So it totally like took me to a place.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
What was the inspiration behind that song?
That song's part of a longer story. It's a 4-EP series that I'm also working on.
My God! That's crazy!
Yeah, I only do things in large, gigantic projects. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that song's about deciding that there's more.
You're making Eddie feel lazy over there.
No, I'm super lazy. Can't watch TV anymore.
Well, where can people find you if they want to buy your music, stream your music, et cetera, et cetera?
If you want to find my music, stream my music, buy my music, go to Rachel Otto, rachelotto.bandcamp.com. If you want to follow along on social media, you can find me, I think on everything, it's Roto Sings, ROTOSINGS. So at Roto Sings, Facebook.com/RotoSings, Instagram, Twitter, Roto Sings, Roto Sings. So.
Roto Sings, Roto Sings, Roto Sings.
Roto Sings.
Yeah.
And where can people find your music?
Just put my name into Google. It's Poeina, P-O-E-I-N-A.
Wow. That's a cool name.
You'll find me.
You're like, I'm the only one.
I'm the only one.
That's actually awesome.
I'm
what
on
she
the
says.
Social
that's,
medias.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, what are you going to play us out?
With? I guess we're doing Mary.
Nice. Yay. Sounds kind of kinky, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We know.
Really
they're like, no.
She was born of wolves and wild. Feel things she's sweet and
smile, but if they saw her shed a woolen coat, they'd understand that Mary, Mary is the light-hearted lamb. Mary, Mary, Mary is the light-hearted sheep, took a chance and jumped the fence. The shepherd fell asleep. At next count, the truth came out. The little lamb was forest bound. The flock thinks that you'll come around. They wandered back down to the pasture, bat your eyes and eat the grass. But Mary, Mary is a light-hearted lamb.
On behalf of
Rachel Otto
and
Poena
and
Eddie Pim
and me, Nikki, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys for gracing us with music.
Thank you, LA Talk Radio.
That's
thank
right.
You, Wake Up Hollywood.
Wake Up Hollywood.
Wake Up Hollywood.
All right, Eddie.
Bye.